For the last couple of months, we've been following the story of the Israelite people and their journey from slavery to liberation and their path to the promised land. This is the last Sunday that we will be talking about the Israelites, at least for a while. And I thought, what better way to reflect on these last several weeks than to go back to the beginning of the story and see where we came from. So, in the story we just read, we heard about a mother and a child. So I want to start out this morning by telling you something that my mother did for me. When I was a child, my mother taught me a song. And the song had an opening line that said, "I am just a little girl who can change the world. Change the world. Change the world." Most days I look at the world and I wonder if anything will change the world, let alone a little girl. It's a sweet idea to think that a single child could change the world, but is it really true? I'm sure that my mother had the best of intentions in teaching me this song. I think she wanted to empower me even as a small child so that I would grow up feeling like I could act and work for change. But how possible is that? In the ancient world, I doubt that many mothers expected their children to change the world. They surely wanted their children to be successful and have good lives, but many children in the ancient world didn't even make it to adulthood. A mother's main concern was just that her child survived. In the passage we read, we encounter a mother who has given birth to a healthy baby boy. Now, to truly have a healthy baby in that time was an incredible blessing. It meant there was a greater chance that your child would live a full and long life. But this mother still fears that her baby won't make it because she is a Hebrew. And Pharaoh has decreed that all Hebrew baby boys should be killed by being cast into the river. Now, some scholars I found as I was reading thought that people would have understood this order of casting babies into the river to actually be taking a baby and placing it in a basket and floating it down the river so that that basket would eventually sink and the child would drown. Why would Pharaoh want to kill these innocent babies? Well, it's amazing the atrocities that leaders are willing to commit in the name of national security. And to Pharaoh, these babies were a threat. He feared that these little boys would grow up to change the world in a way that he did not want them to. He feared that they would rise up against his empire in military force and bring down his great nation. So it seems that Pharaoh believed that little boys could grow up to change the world, but not little girls, because he lets the little girls live. Unfortunately for the mother in our story, her baby is a boy, not a girl. So she hides him in her home as long as she can, but eventually she can hide him no longer. And we don't know why she suddenly decides after 3 months that she cannot hide him anymore. Maybe her neighbors discover that she has a baby and she fears what will happen if she tries to keep him. Maybe she has other reasons, but whatever they are, she actually does almost exactly as Pharaoh orders by placing her own child in a basket in the river. Although, she caulks her basket to waterproof it so that water cannot get in and places it among the reeds by the bank where it is less likely to actually sink. This may seem like giving up, but I think for this woman, it was an act of desperation and hope. Any woman in ancient times had very little agency, but this woman had even less. She was not only the property of her husband, but as a slave, she would have been the property of Pharaoh as well. So I can imagine this mother pacing back and forth in her house, rocking her baby, trying to think of a better way. Maybe she cried out at the injustice that she could not keep her beloved child, but there was no solution to be found. So she places her precious baby in the river, in a place where maybe he has a chance of being rescued. She used the only loophole that she could find in the oppressive system she was living in. Sometimes I think we can feel like this mother in our world, not because we are slaves, and for me, at least, not because I am fearing for the life of my baby, because I have no baby to speak of. But I relate to this mother because I'm often frustrated at a world that seems so full of injustice. I get frustrated because I can't do more to change it. What good does sending a few dollars to hurricane relief do when I can't even convince some of my own family members that climate change is a real thing? Will signing a petition about gun control change anything? Will going to marches help end racism and other forms of injustice? How much can one person really do? All I can seem to accomplish sometimes are small acts of desperation and hope. My attempts to me feel feeble and pathetic. Pharaoh is up in his palace signing executive orders, and I feel frustrated because there's not much I can do to change that. For better or for worse, I internalized that song that my mother taught me as a child. So I desperately do want to help change the world. But all I can seem to do some days are small things. This is often the plight of the small church as well, isn't it? As passionate as we are about God's love and Jesus' concern for justice, we sometimes feel that we just aren't able to do enough. We worry that we don't have the capacity to do more. We may look at the programs of larger congregations and feel that our simple ways of doing ministry are insignificant. We wonder, are we really capable of making a difference? All we can seem to do are small things. The mother in our story this morning could only do small things. All she could do was give her baby his best chance. She couldn't change the system, so she did what she could with what she had. I don't think she ever entertained the thought that her actions could one day change the world. How could she? All the odds were against her, but somehow, her one little desperate act changes everything. She places her baby in a place where Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and it awakens this compassion in Pharaoh's daughter. When she looks upon the sweet face of this little baby boy, she doesn't see an enemy. She doesn't see a threat to national security. She sees a little human being in distress, and she feels compelled to help him. Against all odds, she saves this little baby, and thanks to his sister, she even ends up paying his own mother, who is a slave, to nurse him. The tables of oppression are already turning from this one simple act. It may seem odd to praise Pharaoh's daughter for saving one baby, when she does nothing to try and change Pharaoh's mind about the others. But perhaps she was aware of her own reality, the reality that as a woman in the ancient world, even a royal woman She had no power to change her father's policy. But like the baby's birth mother, she did the little thing that she could do. She saved the one baby that was right in front of her. And that single act of compassion had far-reaching implications that she never could have imagined. For that very baby would grow up to liberate an entire people. So, maybe my mother was right. Maybe a single person, maybe a small congregation can change the world. Or at least, maybe we can help make change possible. And maybe our small acts of resistance and compassion go a lot further than we actually realize. Pharaoh, who was only afraid of men, had his plan thwarted by a group of unlikely women. They each did something small, but the small things they did came together to comprise the beginning of one of the greatest liberation stories ever told. So, when we are overwhelmed by the scope of injustice in our world, may we remember these women who did small things with great compassion. And remind ourselves that with every tiny act of resistance, with every letter written, with every story shared, every march for justice, every awkward conversation, every dollar donated, every stranger welcomed, with every act of compassion, we bring the world closer to liberation. Even if we never manage to do the big things, if we persist in the little things, perhaps together, we really can change the world. Because maybe those small things are bigger than we realize.